The Bible is funny.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast, where we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. My name is Anthony Russo, and we have an extra special podcast today. Before we get started, of course, I want to say huge shout out to everybody that's been listening. Got a lot of feedback from the last episode with Ryan. Thank you, everyone, for messaging, commenting, reviewing. All that stuff is so helpful. So thank you so much for doing that. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, do all that fun stuff. I want to get all that business out of the way early, because I want to talk to our guest. We have a special guest today that I am over the moon about having on the podcast. I want to tell you a little bit about where I met this gentleman. He was he's a comedian who did a show at the church that I was working at, and I want you to know what that means to me, because he came in under the umbrella of like Christian comedian, and that is usually a very disappointing thing for me, generally speaking. And then this comedian, like a bright light shining through the darkness, made me bust a gut. Followed him on Instagram. He's got a great podcast. He's got all kinds of stuff, very cool stuff going on. He just released a special. He's absolutely crushing it. And he took time out of his incredibly busy schedule to join us on the podcast today. And his name is Dustin Nickerson. Dustin, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My question is, what happened on the last episode with Ryan that you got so many comments? Right. What's feedback? What happened with Ryan that everything tanked? No,
it was good feedback. It was good feedback. Everyone was excited. He did a great job. Ryan was a great guest. In fact, he's a tough act to follow, quite frankly. Podcast has a lot to live up to based on what Ryan did last
week. Well, I don't listen to this podcast, so I don't know what I'm following. So I feel no pressure whatsoever.
Thank you so much for saying that. You know, sometimes people will sort of, when I ask them to be a guest on the podcast, they'll sort of pretend like they listen. And then I have to like explain exactly how the podcast goes. And I'm like, so you obviously don't listen.
No. I did zero preparation for this. I just finished reading group with my daughter I posted a TikTok, and now I'm here. And this is all the prep that I did. So that's my life right now, is going back between social media and supervising my daughter's school. Right. So even if I wanted to, I would have no time for prep.
Does any part of you, I'm going to ask this because you started down this line, does any part of you ever feel like inferior to a 1940s kind of man who would spend his days tilling the land or fixing combustion engines or things? When I go back through a day like you just said, and I'm like, well, I troubleshooted a Wi-Fi problem, and I posted a meme to Instagram, and I shuffled some things around in our Roth IRA, and honestly, it was a pretty full day. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I don't. First off, most of those men died of heart attacks in their 60s. They were so unhappy. They just had their own unique sets of problems. The only person that I am jealous of is my younger self pre-internet, because I don't think the internet is a net positive for the world. Okay. I think it has proven to be more negative than positive. It gave too much exposure to humanity, which is like, in person you have to keep yourself kind of like somewhat composed.
Right.
Like you have to present yourself in such a manner. And the internet is just, it's none of that. It's just the darkest. And now every once in a while there'll be like a nice viral video. For every viral video of, some heartwarming thing where some kid shoots a basket or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
generic. There's like a beheading somewhere on the internet too, and not a figurative one, an actual one. So I don't know that I consider, that I'm jealous of.
Right.
I feel like we should have stopped with dial-up internet. I think we should have never made it faster than that.
That Like, that would have solved some problems.
Because it would solve some problems because you had to work for it. You had to really want to go see whatever it was you were going to see,
right,
and pursue it. And if it wasn't worth that 25 minutes of just getting on,
yeah,
you wouldn't do it. And now it's just too easy, too cursory, too, you know. Yeah. So that I covet. But 1940s, no. I mean, plus, you know, there, everyone who romanticizes those times, like, is like, you know, that means you're in a pretty privileged demographic.
100%.
You know?
100%.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, back in the day when, yeah, you know, people didn't, not everybody used the same water fountains. The good old days, you know?
That's so true. And it's really, and I try to stay super aware of that stuff. It's the manly elements. It's when someone gives, sure, directions and says, like, it's north for a certain amount of time. And I'm like, right, I don't know where north. I have no, yeah, clue where I'm heading.
But we would have still been that way. We still sucked back then. We just weren't. It didn't. So we didn't have an opportunity to rise to prominence amongst our species because we were completely incompetent. You know, like, we couldn't. I can't make anything. I can't grow anything. I can't find anything. I mean, this version of me that exists back then is useless, absolutely useless. So now it's like when they said, like, you know, oh, you better learn this because you're not always going to have a calculator in your pocket. Well, ends up I am.
Yeah,
I,
right,
am going to have, and I am going to have a global positioning device in my pocket.
Right.
It is funny now when somebody tries to offer you directions and you're just like, what are you doing? You're going to hand me a newspaper to read while we're here? What is this? Okay, so you're going to go here and turn left. Just give me the address. And if you don't have the address, then I can't go there.
I can't go there. It's not meant for,
yeah,
me,
exactly,
to go there, obviously.
It's not, exactly. This is not the Lord's will.
I am so thankful that you just said everything you said, because I have, I really have lived in that feeling for so long and thought, just like, I would not have made it in any era but my own. This is the time.
Yes.
People are like, I was born in the wrong, mm-hmm, time period. I was, yeah, born in exactly the right time period. I wouldn't,
yeah,
I would have not cut it in any other one. There's no platform that it's like in the prehistoric age,
yeah,
there was a place for a guy that was sort of funny to chat with. What was my contribution?
I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it if I was born 20 years earlier. The directions thing alone, like, comedians used to have to find the venue.
Right.
And I'd have been out. I would have missed every gig. Every gig I would have never been able to find, because sometimes you're way off the beaten path. And if I'm just going off directions, I'm out. There's no way I could do this. You know, I'd have to work at the same place that I would go to every day, and I would still probably get lost somehow, you know?
Do you think this is how the traveling bard became a thing? It's just a performer that had gigs booked, but could never knew how to get to the gig, so just decided,
whoever was around him. Yeah, whoever. Well, I guess this is where I'm performing tonight.
This is my show.
That checks out. Honestly, that checks out.
So you're, you're doing school at home with your daughter. You've talked a lot about this on Instagram and stuff, and quite frankly, have just been, like, crushing it, right? And I said in the intro, you're doing so many great things right now. And one of them that we are sort of talking about a little bit, you're doing, like, backyard shows. Is that, how often are,
yeah,
you doing these?
I haven't in a little bit, but, you know, it's when the rise of, you know, with the rise of COVID and the lack of indoor shows, I threw out just as, like, hey, you know, let's see, maybe this would happen. Would anybody be interested in booking me? I just put it on Instagram. Got hundreds of comments and people interested, and we just kind of created a little bit of a model where, you know, you guys provide this, I'll come to your backyard, we'll do this, you know, and they're a ton of fun. I was just editing a clip right now that I'm going to post on Sunday of, you know, I was getting heckled by a neighbor who wasn't even at the show, you know, and then I love them, and folks seem to love them, and, you know, we're actually kind of making it, you know, an official thing. Like, it was more kind of casual, but, you know, it's kind of built out on my website now and some promo videos and stuff of just like, hey, man, I'll come to your yard and do this. You know, it's more readily available, and frankly, it's just kind of safer right now.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, definitely.
I'm doing some indoor shows, but when you it's hard because, you know, some clubs are safer than others, and you don't feel great about inviting everybody out, and, you know,
right.
I mean, in Florida, I know you guys don't even believe in COVID, but you know, I know it's not even a thing. That's so spring. Or what you guys were into? You guys paid attention to COVID for like 1 week last March, and since then you've moved on.
We have been.
We got to get these theme parks open.
That was a big rush. That was a big rush to get which is still crazy for Floridians, because we have, of course, everyone lives in Florida. We have like a friend that's going to Disney on any given day, and it's like
right,
empty.
Right.
These people posting these pictures like just by themselves in front of the castle.
It's funny because I've seen pictures of Disney. And I was like, well, I mean, that's safer than indoor dining.
It is.
You know, like it's outside, it's spread out, it's Disney. They're going to take it seriously, you know, but it actually might be the safest thing you could do in Florida, COVID-wise.
Also,
it might be the only place with restrictions.
Also in general, just the safest place in Florida to always be. Because but Dustin, I'm actually really glad that you brought this up, because this is one of my points with you today. So thank you so much for the segue. There's a passage in John chapter 1 mm-hmm. verses 45 and 46. It's very funny to me. I've always found this passage really funny. It says, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then verse 46 is the best. "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked.
Right.
Love this line. Have always loved this line. That
such shade, yeah.
Nathanael throws immediate shade.
So mean.
And it
to Jesus and his whole town.
Right. If you could, somehow diss the Son of God and also an entire town at the same time. But Dustin, why this is important for me to talk to you about is, as a Floridian, I feel that I am on the receiving end of shade from you consistently. There was an alligator
right.
that you blamed us for, a giant alligator walking across a golf course. There's so much animosity, it feels like, and I just want to dig into this and see what it. We Floridians,
right.
we love you, Dustin. We love you.
I don't think that I've ever been, you know, vile towards you guys. I think that Florida is truly the comedy pinata of America. And it's just, but you keep outdoing yourself. You know that. Don't act like you aren't something. There's a couple states in our country that there's nothing else like them. And I would say Florida is one of them.
Yeah.
I would say there's three. I would say there's Florida,
mm-hmm.
Texas, and California.
That's right.
I think these are our three strangest, most bizarre, and with the strongest identity states of all of them. And Florida is like, it's hard to describe, because in some ways you are just like, well, we're Florida. You have a little Texas in you, and that we're like, well, we're Florida. We do what we want, you know?
Yeah.
But you also just have such a high population of idiots, you know, such a dense amount of dum-dums that make up. And you, it's, I don't know. But at the same time, you know, it is lovely. I remember I was in Jacksonville. I went to a show, and I did a show in Jacksonville. And I remember saying to Aaron Weber, the comedian, was just said, "I can't understand how I feel right now, because this is nice, but I don't want to be here." I had never seen people smoke on the beach before.
Oh, yeah,
smoking,
yeah, yeah.
Smoking, it's like, oh, I got to get this fresh air. Just got to, like... It's, and then, and you try and give Florida a break, and then, you know, another story comes. Plus, you have like like that gator, like you have like some Australia in you,
yeah,
you know,
that's
because
right.
you're so deep into the Gulf and stuff. Like you just have some wild elements to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as snakes and gators and spiders and It's one of a kind.
You name it. There are so many animals, so many natural disasters that can kill you in Florida.
Right.
An under-talked about one is the sinkhole, which is just a hole that opens up and things fall into it. It's not right. It's not like as
amazing.
It's not as cool as an earthquake.
I love that old Bugs Bunny cartoon of him cutting off Florida. Have you ever with the saw? It's so funny. Plus, you guys, like, you know, it doesn't help right now that you have DeSantis. So I won't, you know, I don't. No one knows what to do with COVID. So I'm not going to make a stance there.
Right.
But he's so defiant and outspokenly defiant.
Right.
That's only going to cause people to, you know, to hold that line more. But Floridians, I mean, depending on where you line, to embrace their identity a little more, probably.
Right. It's very Floridian. It's all very on brand. And it's,
yeah.
Now, in as a Floridian, I think I speak for a lot of at least Central Floridians. When you do say Jacksonville, it's like, there's a bit of you that's like, is it Florida though? It's just barely Florida.
Yeah.
And it is. And it is by definition. Yeah. And we welcome with the Jaguars and whatever poor quarterback they will take with the first overall pick as Florida residents. But Jacksonville feels like, did you ever watch The Good Place? Did you get into The Good Place at all?
No.
There's a character.
I didn't.
Who's like one of his whole bits is that he loves the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's from Jacksonville. And it just does feel like, and this is true, let me just say, if I may, there's some armpit parts of California, too. There's some California areas are no good.
People don't realize that about California. California is three cities, San Diego, LA, and SF.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the state is Arizona or Oregon. Like the identity is, so I live in San Diego, and it's, if you go east 20 minutes, you might as well be in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Phoenix. It feels like Phoenix. You know, it's, you go east an hour and you're running into Waffle Houses. Like it's a different animal as soon as you kind of get outside of the cities, which have their own unique identities. But yeah, there's absolutely some armpits out there, you know.
I was very much,
and I don't understand why you would live here if you don't live in one of the nice areas. That makes zero sense to me. Like if you are out here and you're living in Modesto, what are you doing? What are you doing? So you pay the same taxes as me, which are ridiculous, but I get San Diego and you get Modesto? Like Fresno, all of them. I mean, Fresno's got a little stuff to do, but I don't get it, you know.
There's a bit about California, I think, for most Floridians, myself included, that it was like, it's this like other paradise. We have like our version of it, and then California is like the other. And I ended up in Fresno, California, and on the way thinking, oh, it's California. It's going to be, I know about it, the gold, it's gold, movie stars. Yeah. This is what California is. And I was like, this Fresno is not.
Yeah. No, it's a dust bowl.
It's not like it's the others.
It's really, you know, but your state is interesting in that you have like Miami out of nowhere.
Right.
There's not a city in America like Miami, let alone Florida. And it doesn't even count, really. It's kind of like, you know, some city. It's kind of like, I can't even think of a comparison. You know, you know what it's like? It's like Atlanta versus the rest of Georgia.
Oh, sure.
You know, you're like, there's nothing like this in the whole state.
Nope. No, it's very three layered. There's that north, there's that panhandle that is basically Georgia, Alabama. It's like the
right,
south.
Right, right.
Then there's the middle, which is like Tampa, Orlando. We have our own little community there.
Yeah.
And then there's South Florida. All could be their own thing entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. And your area is closest to Orange County is what we have out here. It's, you know, it's very, it's just, I remember we did that like tour the city thing with John where we would just kind of make fun of the place. And I remember, and this is true of most Florida cities. I was like, I mean, how many David's bridles does one city need? Because it's just an endless, that, you know what the thing that people, the actual knock on Florida is, it is so lovely, but it has such a distinct lack of culture.
Yeah.
That, like, it's just very theme parky. It's very touristy.
Right.
A lot of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And that you just kind of go there, and it's like getting, you know, it's like going to, like, a high-end ice cream shop and getting, like, the best vanilla ice cream you've ever had.
Stop.
You know, you're like, this is great. Stop. This is better than most vanilla ice cream, but it is still, this is not a white joke, by the way, though that's applicable.
Stop.
And I like Florida. I like it. I like Florida. I'm happy when I'm there. Well, but you know what? You know what it is, though? It's because so many different people. This happens. It's very true of where I live in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So many people move there that you don't really have a strong identity.
No, that's
of
it.
Who you are. Yeah,
that's exactly so, it. And it does.
All this applies to where I live, too.
It does lull you into this. I've seen this happen to friends and loved ones because you have Disney so close, which is a wonderful thing. And you'll get people that are like, they go to Disney for, like, that's all they do is they go to Disney. And they're like, I went and ate at this, like, the Italian restaurant in Epcot. And you're like, start to get to the point where, like, you do know Italy is a place that can also be visited. Like, I know Epcot has these wonderful little, like, samplings of things, but there is a whole big, and you can watch their eyes sort of glaze. And they're like, I don't think so. No. Is there a Disney World in Italy? I know there's one in Paris. Like, oh no, you're sucked into the bubble. Like, it will suck you in entirely. And that's from someone who,
right?
I got engaged at Disney. I get it. I love it. Been there. But you gotta not give into it all the way.
Well, to come full circle on your, you know, does anything good come out of Florida? In the comedy world, maybe the best comedian of all time. Well, in the discussion, Brian Regan is from Florida.
Oh,
so clearly,
yes.
Some good. And I think Ron White, too, or Larry the Cable Guy, one of them, the other ones are from there, too, or started there.
I think it's Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Larry the Cable Guy started here, now that you say that.
And there's no way we could know for sure, so we could never have access to that information.
And he was a very good stand-up comedian, but, like, forever now is just Toe Mater in my mind since I had kids. Like, that's,
oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
where
absolutely.
He's now stuck.
I randomly golfed with him, and every once in a while he would hit a good shot and go into Mater voice. Like, I remember one time he just, like, ripped this 3-iron and he was like, "Whee!" I was dying. It was one of the best moments. You know what? There we go. On my desk right now, you can't see this in this, is the Larry the Cable Guy Titleist, that golf ball that says "Get Her Done" on it.
Wow.
So there you go. Yeah. I did not just work that story in so I could show that off. But
no, that's just the kind of magic that happens here on the Bible is Funny podcast.
Listen, exactly. Not that you believe in magic.
We had a magician on a couple episodes ago.
That's true.
You're a big listener of the podcast. You remember.
I favorite episode. It's magical.
You have been doing stories. I'm curious about this, and I don't want to get too far away from it before I ask. You started a segment of videos called Send News.
Yes.
What? Like, was there a particular inspiration? It's so good. I love it. It's so funny.
Thank you.
The one where there was a cat birthday party and everybody became a super spreader event. That's not funny.
Yeah.
This is a very serious thing, but that was a hilarious bit.
It was pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Listen, if you're going to try and make God's holy word funny and look for the humor in, you know, the divinely inspired, inerrant word of the Lord, then we can laugh at a cat birthday party. Send News is fun. At the start of quarantine, I was like, well, I don't get to do stand up anymore. Let's just make more video content.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get better at this and learn how to do this. And you kind of experiment and find the things that you like to do. And, I was like, I just want to talk about whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, you know, and it's a good joke writing exercise and it's fun and it's engaging because people message me and stuff like that. And, you know, I try to do one or two of them a week and I try and vary on, like, all right, this is going to be like a serious political one. Like, I'm not serious in it. I'm here for jokes.
Right.
That news with jokes, right? That's the whole thing. But, yeah, it's fun and it's a, It's a labor of love because they take a little while and I try and do a good job on them and I try and just write the crap out of them. I try and get as many jokes in it as I can. And sometimes they do well and other times they're barely seen at all compared to other things. And I go, but it doesn't matter because it's fun to me.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm passionate about it. So yeah, I appreciate you checking them out. I'll take all the views I can get on those, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to keep doting on how much I watch and listen to all of your stuff after you owned up to listening to my podcast earlier.
That's fine. It's all right. I like your account. I like, you know, I like your Instagram account. I've just never listened. That's a big jump to go from somebody's Instagram to their podcast.
Oh, for sure.
For example, my podcast, and it's as well, I'm thankful for it. I mean, the numbers on that compared to the number of followers I have, minuscule.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big, it's taking a relationship to the next level, you know?
That's a great thought on that. I have never thought about how many of my followers are still in the, like, not ready to commit to me phase.
Yeah, they're in the friend zone. They're totally in the friend zone.
I'll give you this, but like, I'm not.
A podcast is a commitment. I am a podcaster and have been for multiple years now, but I only listen to like a few,
yeah.
You know, like, because you're like, gosh. And sometimes you're like, especially the longer ones, you're like, I mean, okay, so The Undertaker was on Rogan. I like Rogan and I like The Undertaker, but for 3.5 hours, I feel like if I listen to that, I won't like either of them at the end. You know,
I can't commit to anything for that amount of, whenever
3.5 hours.
And even on two speed, there's some of the ones I do on double speed, but two, that's too long. I can't do that.
Gary Vee talks about though, podcast listeners are your best fans because they go deep with you. They feel like they know you.
Oh yeah.
You know, cause they've just think about like, you know, if someone's listened to every episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There, I mean, then they've heard me just hundreds of hours of talking to them, which is, I haven't talked to my dad for hundreds of hours in my life.
No.
You know,
you're so right.
We don't talk for an hour at a time.
Right.
You know?
Right. I know. And I always do this bit and I feel like it sounds like you heard it in a little bit, but I'm always like, hey, really thank you guys for messaging and sending. And like, I'm always paring that back to not sound like super desperate, but there's part of me that's like, yes. It's really great to know you guys are out there.
It's huge. It's great. Yeah. Just as low that people are listening and watching, you know, and you always focus on the negative, right? Because you'll look at your Instagram account, which is solid, you know, good numbers there and good content and good engagement and stuff. And, but I'm the same way. I'll be like, oh, Instagram's good. And then I'll be like, well, and YouTube, is embarrassing. So you only focus on the negative, right? Like, and then you go, at least that's how I am. And then you go, oh, well, like everybody knows that too. Everybody knows that I suck on YouTube.
Right.
And like reality is nobody cares.
100%. And I'm going to button one more into this. I have friends sometimes that I'll bump into at like our kid's birthday party or something. And they'll be like, you know, I've never like said this to you before, but like, those posts are like super funny. They make me laugh so much. I just figure people tell you that all the time. And I'm like, they don't. And
they
I don't know what level of if you thought I was like just being too encouraged for this thing, yeah. I would encourage you just go ahead and send that text. It's never going to hurt.
Please always say that. Always.
Especially,
lean on the side. Who was that? I had an old pastor friend of mine, Pastor Bill Clem. I love Bill Clem. And I remember he said, nobody's ever complained about being over-encouraged.
Right.
Nobody. Oh, gosh. I just feel too filled up right now.
Right. I will never receive a text from anybody. Especially, it's usually like someone I know, like fairly well, that they're just like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I just didn't feel like I should. Like,
nah.
It's okay.
It's so funny.
It's for sure okay to just, that'll never hurt. Let's get back to the Bible though, Dustin. That's what we're here to talk about.
Let's do it, yeah.
Because
that's good.
Something about you, some people might not know, is you used to be a youth pastor. You were a youth pastor for a period of time, is that right?
That's true. Yeah, I was a youth pastor, and then a kids pastor, and then an associate pastor. I was in and around ministry for 8 or 9 years.
Better part of a decade.
Yes. Yes, not my best decade, but it was the better part of a decade, yes. And it was not, yeah, of the things happening during that decade, it was not the better part, but yes. There we go. It took me two tries to find the
you
joke.
You got
there.
It. So here's my question for you. It's based on this passage from Ezra. Ezra 4, Ezra chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I'm sure you have it memorized. I will read it for the people at home.
Everybody does. Everybody does, right?
Eat the food as you would a loaf of barley bread. Bake it in the sight of the people using human excrement for fuel, the Lord said. Mm. In this way, the people of Israel will eat defiled food among the nations where I'll drive them. This is a lot of people find out about the Bible's famous. Oh, the verse with the poop bread. The verse with the bread for poop.
What is he telling them to eat at Arby's? Hey-oh! Sorry, I'm just... That's a stupid joke. I really like Arby's, but I couldn't think of anything else.
Can we talk about for a minute, since you brought up Arby's, we have the meats. That being like, there was a room somewhere where they talked, there was a whiteboard, and that was the one that they thought.
Clearly it was good because we're talking about it right now. We have the meats. I love it. Arby's is the Florida of restaurants in that I'm going to say it's an undeserved punchline at times. Arby's is great. Arby's is good. I mean, roast beef might not be your thing, you know, but it's great. And they got the market the curly fries are great, but people just like they had that joke like about Arby's and Deadpool or whatever. I'm like, guys, there's worse fast food than Arby's. Take it easy. Carl's Jr., absolute trash. Inedible trash. But Arby's and Jack in the Box are identical as far as quality of food goes.
Arby's I've always had. We told a story actually a while ago. I think on the podcast, maybe not, but I did a couple tours doing improv comedy, and we would travel and do things, and I stopped at an Arby's and I was like 18 or something at the time, got the 5 for 5, like 2 Jamocha shakes, 2.
Amazing.
They were all looking at me like, you know, we're going to be in the car for like, blah, blah. I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm going to crush this Arby's.
Yes.
And I lost it about 5 miles down the highway. I was like, we got to pull over.
Yeah.
This is not
good. The thing with roast beef is it looks the same coming back as it did going down. Yeah.
And I just lost my Arby's sponsorship.
Yeah. So anyways, the Book of Ezra.
If you were a listener of the podcast, you'd know Arby's is a huge sponsor. And
Good. That's
they do have the meats. You. That's what we took the time to say. They do have the meats. Check it
out. Yeah, they do.
This is my question for you about so this is God instructing this to bake the bread with. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is the inspiration for youth pastors that cause their students to eat and do bizarre and gross things? You think they look at this passage and they're like, God's calling me into this ministry.
You're saying that this is the chubby buddy command. This is it. This is the what's the you've heard of the Great Commission. This is the chubby bunny commission right here.
This is the chubby bunny commission.
This is it. No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that all of that. Most youth pastors are youth pastors because they're not old enough to do anything else. You know. And when you put a 21-year-old in charge of something, that's the idea you're going to get, period. It's just, you know, we didn't do any of that. We would rip games. I remember we did Will It Float. That was a funny one. Like, you would just, like, you know, it's a hard thing because, you know, like, the senior is, like, just trying to come up with a sermon. I was like, dude, I got to have the sermon.
Right.
I got to have the game.
Right.
You know, I got to have the relevant movie clip. I got to have the play. I
got
to have everything. You know, that's why youth pastors, that's why a lot of them go and plant churches because they're like, I'm already doing everything. I'm just going to go do it for adults now.
Okay. 2 follow-up questions from that. What was your best movie clip to sermon connection? Do you remember a particularly devastating connection you made to like a clip from High School Musical?
I wasn't a movie clip guy. It wasn't me. I was a song guy. Because I'm a big music fan. And so, you know, we would do times where we just talked about, I wouldn't even do a Bible lesson. I would just be like, hey, we're going to listen to this Cage the Elephant song. and then talk about what it means. And that would be the whole thing. So I did a lot of that. That was my real wheelhouse anyways, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably why, like, I don't know if any of those, like, my old youth kids, like, they don't ever ask me spiritual questions, but they give me band recommendations. That's the relationship that I fostered with them. They're not like, oh, man, I want Dustin to officiate my wedding. They're like, you know, I want to go to this concert with Dustin, which is honestly
the one you want. That's 100% the
yeah,
one
exactly.
You
want. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you never made a kid drink, like, a soda through someone else's sock, or you didn't do any?
No, I don't think so. Right. Not that I can recall. I didn't like the kids enough, honestly, to be that creative for them. That's the main reason that I was a bad youth pastor. I would just get mad at them. I was like, why are you like this? You know? And, so I didn't, yeah, I wasn't I've never claimed to be a good youth pastor. So, I think towards the end there, I switched into kids ministry. Cause I was like, I mean, I would rather them, like, you're acting like a toddler.
Right.
I would prefer this to be an actual toddler if I'm going to deal with this attitude, you know?
Sure. I love that in you saying I didn't like the kids enough, I think you ended up being a much more considerate youth pastor than most of them that are like, I love the kids so much, I'm going to make them eat a banana using only their foot.
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't care enough to engage them that much. I was like, listen, man, you guys can come if you want. And we'll have a good time, and you can come on the retreat if you want, but I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to...
The hard-to-get youth pastor.
Yeah, exactly. I played hard to get with my kids. Yeah, exactly. Which you should, you know?
You guys want to come Wednesday night? If you don't, I get to go home early. But if you want to come, I guess the doors will be open.
You don't want your youth pastor DMing you the details of the retreat. Nobody wants that. That wasn't even a thing when I was a youth pastor, but it probably is now. You know, you don't want your youth pastor sending you Snapchats or snaps. I don't know what they're called. That's the one I've never gotten on.
Yeah, same.
Why? Why would I? What? No one's looking for me on Snapchat.
When it got introduced to me, the premise, just, I was like, oh, I like to make stuff that's funny for people and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, yeah, this is Snapchat's cool. Yeah. It disappears in 24 hours. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't think that, nothing about that sounds for me, but no.
Now I would know this if I listened to the podcast, but I don't. How many times, because when I think about the Bible verses that I think are funny, to me, the very funniest is, Elisha and the She-Bears, which you've had to talk about that multiple times,
Elisha
right?
Elisha and it's the She-Bears.
Right. You know the story?
I know the story. Yeah.
It's the craziest thing in the Bible.
Bar none.
To me, it's insane. They call him Baldy.
Right.
And he puts a curse on them, and bears come out of the woods and maul these children. And there's no lesson to the story.
That's the kicker.
It's not... Yeah, there's no... It's not like when Jesus would teach a parable and then, like, you know, like a chapter later, he explains the parable. There's no explanation
right.
of this story.
Right. Funny, man.
Children are brutally murdered by bears. or eaten. They're, like, destroyed by the order of a man of God. And it's never even explained.
And that's where I come into... I don't know. You have a hat on, and I don't know your hair situation. I am bald.
I have hair.
I am bald. Yes. I balded early. I'm only 30. Mm-hmm. I just turned 32. And I can tell you that balding, especially young, it's a painful process. There's a lot of abandonment issues that come from it. There's a lot of trust issues.
Even my hair's abandoning me. That's hilarious.
And how do you not just, there's a bit of you that's like, how do I trust again? Because it was here yesterday and now it's gone. So I want to take a moment. We haven't covered this story, Dustin. I'm so glad you brought it up.
Oh, you haven't. It's the best. It's wild.
I want to say, be gentle with your bald friends. Don't throw around the bald.
Yeah.
Let them bring it up. You know, if you run into Vin Diesel and he's like, oh, you know, I don't have any hair, then you're good to make some comments. And I've also wondered aloud this. I don't have this text pulled up in front of me, but it sort of sounds disconnected to me, which would cause for a funny scene. Like, it sort of sounds like Elisha curses the kids, and then they get mauled by bears. And for me, it almost paints a minute of a picture of, like, Elisha going, oh, shoot, no.
No, God, I thought maybe you could get one of them sick. Like, I was asking, maybe you could have them break their toe. Maybe I was hoping maybe they would jam their finger. I wasn't asking that, Lord.
Right. Like, I think any of us.
It's like in Spider-Man when he accidentally puts on instant kill mode. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, 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 no. That's too much, Lord. That's too much. I wasn't asking for all
or
that.
Or even if the two events are potentially completely unrelated and he walked away, he was like, these right. stinking kids, man, forget these, yeah. forget today's youth. And the Bible recorder's like, yeah. all right. And then Elisha cursed the bears. And it just so happened, or Elisha cursed the kid, yeah. just so happened there's some bears next to him that are like, oh.
If that's the case, that is some bad storytelling. Like, that is, like, you need to line that up. Who wrote the Kings, first and second? Because that's in Second Kings. I don't, or for, who was, David? Who penned those? No, that would have been about, I don't know who wrote those.
Man, I wish I did.
But it's, yeah, it's very, that'd be a lot of whiplash in a story.
That could be a completely inaccurate take, by the way. There's a Bible scholar right now that is just tossing and turning about the inaccuracy of that take.
These are the type verses where you go, oh, is it, okay, is it literal? Like, because it's very similar to Jonah in that you go, I get the message of the story even if it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the story of Jonah mm-hmm. is a story about a self-righteous prophet right. who thinks he's better than these people. Yeah. It's about racism. Mm-hmm.
100%.
He thinks he's better. He's superior to the Ninevites mm-hmm. and that God pursues those. God pursues everybody. He pursues the stubborn-hearted prophet and he pursues the Ninevites. Yeah, right. That's the story. I get the story without the actual fish. I don't need the fish. And it's the same thing with this. I'm like, you shouldn't mock people for balding or the way they look, and you shouldn't mock prophets. Did it actually happen? Like, you could have. It's okay if this was just a story. Lord, I'm talking to God right now. You didn't have to do this for me to know. It's okay if I find out at the end. And God's like, are you crazy? That didn't actually happen. I was just trying to say that guys get insecure when they ball. Don't give them a hard time for it.
But we had to raise the stakes. Maybe that's Elisha's take.
Well, yeah, because if there's a verse that says, if Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, also, guys get insecure when they get bald, take it easy on them, we wouldn't listen to that. But if the Elijah story, I've never made fun of somebody for being bald out of the 0.01% chance that if next time I walk by a forest,
right.
a couple of grizzlies are going to come out and take me like they did Leo in what was that movie?
The Revenant?
The Revenant. I was thinking The Departed, but same idea. I know those are different movies, but I couldn't remember the name.
You said same idea for The Departed and The Revenant.
Same idea.
Nearly ahead. Identical.
I'm following your lead here.
Nearly identical stories, yeah. The Revenant and The Departed.
Exactly.
Leo Same is idea. A gift, by the way. Leo is a he fantastic is. Yeah. actor.
He's very, very funny.
I was just talking about him the other day, and that's why I'm just doping on.
Yeah, and seemingly normal. Seemingly Seems normal as far as, you know, you could be, considering he was so famous so right. young. You know, like he did Quick and the Dead and What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I think before Titanic. Like, he was young and then he was a Disney, the Mouseketeer too, I think, right? Wasn't he? I don't know. Anybody who was famous young, I just assume. You know what the worst part is? We could never know this information for sure.
Well, there's no way to know.
There's no way to know.
Leo was on Growing Pains early, and I think it was that proximity to okay. Kirk Cameron is what leveled him out so much.
Oh, yeah.
He got
oh,
to spend
yeah,
a lot of time
yeah.
with Kirk early.
Today in Christian celebrities that you wish weren't Christians. I'm like, Kurt, cool it. You gotta cool it, Kurt. You know, it's so funny that, like, I don't know. This is, you know... If you like Kirk Cameron, that's great. I'm not, I don't necessarily have any blatant ill will against him, but it is funny that because, you know, in certain parts of evangelicalism, we have to celebrate whoever shares our values the most outspokenly, which means in the acting world, we get him and Kevin Sorbo, like guys who were already punchlines based on right. the fact that they haven't been relevant in the acting world except for one role decades ago. Oh. And you're like, I mean, I'm pretty sure Denzel's a Christian, but he doesn't speak out, so we don't get to claim him. And he did Training Day, so we don't get to say,
right?
You know?
No, that dude, that's exactly it. And that's what I was talking about some in the opener. Like, when you talk about Christian comedy, to me, usually you throw that Christian on, and it's almost like saying,
right.
It's almost like saying low-fat something. Like, oh, you like yogurt?
Right.
Well, low-fat yogurt is like kind of like yogurt, but it's not as good.
Yeah.
But it's like allegedly.
Yeah, it's like yogurt adjacent. It's in the vicinity of
yogurt.
So you
get these, the actor's a good one.
I stay away from the label of Christian comic. I don't even really advertise when I'm doing shows at churches and stuff. I'll come to a show at a church. I'm happy to tell jokes to anyone and everyone. But, you know, 80% of my gigs are in not churches. They're in comedy clubs sure. and bars and theaters and wherever I'm being booked. So, you know, and part of the reason when I was touring with John, actually, and I've toured with other bigger Christian acts like Tim Hawkins and stuff, and Anita Renfro, part of the reason they like me is that I have zero church jokes. I don't do any of that. You know, I'm clean, but there's not really a crossover on premises. You know, we're talking about different things.
Yeah, you were great on that night, and I was thankful because I'm used to when I'm told, like, hey, here's a... You like NFL quarterbacks? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how about Nick Foles? He's a Christian NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh. So like, I have to?
I like that everyone, and in Christians, American Christians growing sense, Christians have a deep need to feel like they're being martyred. You know, to feel like there's persecution.
Yes.
They, like, act like Tim Tebow knew how to throw at an NFL level and that's why he's being kicked out of the league. You're like, no. That one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, John Elway, was the president of that team and said, that guy's not good at that position. Like, I know what quarterbacks look like and he's out. And everyone, it's persecution. No, it's not. He's maybe the greatest college football player of all time, and it didn't translate well to the pros. That happens a lot. That's not because that happened to, what was his name out of Florida State? Chris Wanky or whatever. Like Chris that Wanky, happens. Yeah. Was that him? Yeah, that happens to guys, and it has nothing to do with their faith. You know how many Christians there are in the NFL? Russell Wilson is just as much a Christian as Tim Tebow. He's just better at playing quarterback.
But I love the mantle given because it's been particularly funny to me this year because it's still like we're still talking about Tim Tebow and it's still in the light of him. Yeah. And if we were to crown one, Nick Foles is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but he's got a longer neck.
Absolutely.
And he's not married to former Miss Universe. So we're still having Tim Tebow talk at Passion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because Tim Tebow looks like Tim Tebow and Nick Foles looks like Napoleon Dynamite. You know? There's some vanity stuff to it for sure. Like maybe if Russ was a foot taller. You know.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man.
We're a petty group.
This has been super fun. Thanks for being on the podcast. Hey, I did want to say you just released a special. How can people check out the special? What's the best way for people to check out the special?
The special is called Overwhelmed. You can just look at my name, and it's on Prime Video, and you can check it out there. And if you don't have Prime, then it's on our website called Gumroad as well. You can go to my website, DustinNickerson.com, and there's all the links for there. And if you don't want to watch my face, then the same special is available on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to music.
That's great. Also, if you don't have Prime, there's a great company called Amazon, and they sell all kinds of things, and they ship it to you for free, and it costs like not much.
Yeah, they're on the come up, a little startup company to keep an eye out for.
If you don't have Prime, you should look into it, or at least someone you know that you can tack your address onto their account. It's very yes. simple process.
Yes,
I don't know if I can encourage that yeah. on my Bible based podcast.
I don't know. I just hope that I get as much. Many comments and feedback as Ryan did. That's my only goal. I don't know if I did as well as Ryan, but we'll see. Help. The comment section will tell.
Help Dustin reach his goal of more comments than Ryan by following along on the Instagram at The Bible Is Funny. You can send me a message there. Tell me how great Dustin did on the podcast, and I will pass it along. Yes. You can leave a review, like I said, on the podcast. That's always super helpful. Let's get the word out about what we're doing here. Dustin, once again, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Everybody, we will be back very soon with another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. Thanks for listening. The Bible.